few minutes, I think, just to read briefly from the scriptures. In Psalm 123, 124, and 126, we're not going to read it all, but in the context of what we've been listening to, and in the context of what we're about to do in prayer, and following on from the hymn we sang at the beginning, look at Psalm 123. To thee I lift up my eyes. In prayer meetings, we tend to close our eyes and stick our heads down and pray down towards the floor so that ministers who are beginning to be a bit deaf can't hear what people are praying. But that's a total distraction, so we'll forget about that. To thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens. Now, that's the God to whom we pray. I've discovered over the years that if you come across problems and various firms are not dealing rightly with you, don't go to any of the low down people, the ordinary staff. Go to the managing director. It works, by the way. I've proved that. Well, this is what the psalmist is doing here. He's praying. And he says, to thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. I can still remember how deeply my heart was moved one summer Sunday evening, with the sun shining in through the windows of the little church in Poole, and in the opening prayer, Willie John MacDonald quoted this: as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to thee. And I think the significance is both the servant and the master, and the maid and the mistress, they're looking with trust, they're looking with expectation, and they're looking with a spirit of obedience. He looks to the master, and if the master says do this, he'll do it without question. You know, that's a great way to live in relation to God. And you know, it makes a tremendous difference to our prayer life. So look now at Psalm 124. If, that little word that causes or can cause us so much distraction. I had to say to somebody quite recently, I refuse to give advice in hypothetical situations. This person, now, if, and I tried to do it later to the person, now if, on the other hand, it works out, what do I say? I refuse to deal with if, because you don't know if it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But look what the psalmist says. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, we don't sing this psalm. We almost keep it to Remembrance Sunday. But we should sing it more often. If it had not been the Lord, this Lord who is enthroned in the heavens, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel now come on, says the psalmist. Don't leave me to say this alone. You say it as well. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. I'm sure Jan was, if the Lord hadn't been with us in all these complicated situations, I think maybe she would have come home. But then you see, the Lord is on our side. We forget that. think of Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, God's not against us. Oh, sometimes he has to say to us, now that was stupid, wasn't it? And we have to agree. Sometimes the Lord has to say quite sternly, now, why on earth did you say that? But he's not against us. He's for us. It's a great way to get a good night's sleep, you know. The Lord on our side. It's a bit like the Christmas message. God with us. This God who is enthroned in the heavens. I don't know that people like the Queen or the President of the United States or important folk like that would come and stay in my house. But the Lord God Almighty is not only willing, he does. Look down to verse 8 of the Psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. People sometimes say to me, well, now I need your help. I say, well, I'll try. Because they usually say they need my help before they tell me what the problem is. That causes all sorts of flutters in my mind and heart. But you see, whatever the situation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now look on to Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. You see, they were like us. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And then when God answered their prayer, they could hardly believe it. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, says the psalmist, the Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev desert. And then the RSV has it in a sense almost as a question, but it should be a statement. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, the old version has it, bearing precious seed. But this is more accurate. He who goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I don't know that it's a terribly good hymn, but the hymn that's got the chorus, bringing in the sheaves, is really a great hymn, in one sense. The picture here in the last few verses of the psalm, verse 5, 6 and 7, all about sowing and weeping and reaping, is all set in the context of farming. And the slog of farming, the clearing of the ground before you can really start ploughing, then the hard slog of ploughing, and then the sowing of the seed and the rolling it in, and then the waiting and waiting, and as the crop begins to grow, oh, there you are, the weeds start and disease starts, and the rain doesn't come when the rain should come, or when the rain comes, too much rain comes. I don't think I'd like to be a farmer. I always read the farming article in the Glasgow Herald on a Monday. It's fascinating. Of course, it's a farmer in the northeast of Scotland and in Aberdeenshire, and I know the language he uses. But you know, it's the slog of farming that the psalmist is thinking about here. And the tears of tiredness, the tears of disappointment, the tears that come when you've really been doing your very best and all you get is criticism. Look what the psalmist says. He that goes, no, well, those who sow in tears will reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of rejoicing. But whether we speak of farming or spiritual farming, the sowing of the seed of God's word, the picture is the same. You sow the seed and then you've got to leave it alone. And oh, how you wonder if it's going to grow. Yes, I'll admit sometimes when we plant new seeds in the garden and they're taking longer to come up through the earth than I think they should. When my wife's not in, I sometimes go out and poke around a wee bit just to see. I can't wait, you see. But spirit, which it's a wrong thing to do. All you'll do is damage the growing seed. You have to leave it alone, and the seed is left alone to get on with it, because you see, the seed of God's word carries its own life and its own power. I was speaking to one of the students just a few weeks ago, and using the illustration that in desert places, even when the rain comes at the appropriate time, nothing grows. And then the next year, the rain comes again and nothing grows. Oh, it's the whole place is barren. And then one year, the rain comes, and lo and behold, up comes a plant. Well, why it didn't grow the previous, I don't know. But the seed was there. And the seed of God's word carries its own life and its own power. And what Jan and Bob need to know, and what all of us need to know, is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the Lord said, by all means, say, well, it looks as if it's in vain. Fair enough. The Lord even allows and say, well, Lord, I think that whole venture was a waste of time. All right, says God, you're entitled to your opinion. But those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And he that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, will come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I hesitate to use the illustration, but since I indicated I was retiring, I've had letters from people, some of whom I don't even know, saying to me that X number of years ago, one Sunday, they were converted in Sandyford. Some through the congregational record. I didn't know. And God said, well, knowing you, it's just as well you didn't know. You might have thought you had something to do with it. All I did was I wept. In the years in Sandyford, I'd wept far more than most of you know, for a variety of reasons. But he that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come. And all this started with the end, or the beginning of Psalm 123. Oh, to thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens. And it's to that God that we are going to pray in just a moment or two. But we're going to sing first